Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Back at Hollywood Park, baby.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's the Around the NFL Podcast. I'm Dan Hansis, joined by Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. See, I left a little pause in there, Mark. For the audience, absence makes the heart grow fonder. People are so hot for Sessler right now. Your brand is very big. Dipping away helped you in a way. Maybe do it again in a few weeks. You know, just throwing it out there, brand building.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's only downhill at this stage. If now that I'm present and doing the job that they're, you know, in theory requesting me to do, that the popularity dips, I think you just stay out. I mean, that's just probably the next move. But
we're going to make a big deal out of every, you know, milestone. Sunday show, Mark's first Sunday show back.
I mean, I have been to this office previously for about 20 hours total.
Right.
Not even. I mean, more like 2 hours. But it's very strange to be back. But it's nice to be back in the Chris Wessling studio, one of the best rooms in all of LA. You mentioned before that we are in Hollywood Park. It's neither Hollywood. It's definitely not a park. There's nothing about this place that would suggest a child's
they got the racetrack
playland
nearby.
Well, I mean, that's not a child's area.
No.
A racetrack.
But the branding is spot on.
Right.
You know, Tinseltown, baby. Mark, I think it's something it's a little bit of a sensitive topic. So I didn't bring it up on Tuesday,
This could go anywhere. So.
Your first show back. But I think I was kind of hoping Greg would bring it up, but I will. Your prediction, your sandwich predictions about a coach resigning, about a cheerleader being majorly involved in the story or a story. I don't want to be out of school here, but maybe a little on the nose that you were that correct. Is it possible that you had something to do with this, that you were in the emails somehow, that you were a part of the whole controversy? Just put it out there.
Honest. I am seeing that. That's been thrown at me online multiple times. And my only response would be, if there's any benefit to have never been in the category of insider on any level, I've not provided inside information over the course of a decade inside this company. Why would I suddenly be?
Well, you could be Deep Throat. Deep Throat in this case is not going
sure
public.
Could.
He decided to take, you know, he or she, contributed to this story and ultimately got you sandwiches. So you would have a motive.
I think from the other, you know, the other person's angle, why include me? There's no upside for any other person that I win sandwiches on a podcast in a distant state. I don't know.
All right.
It feels absurd to me that I would suddenly be seen as a man with inside information. I simply made a very correct prediction, multiple very correct predictions.
And that you did. And we will be touching on what's going on around the Raiders with their new head coach, Greg?
Rich Bisaccia.
Coming up a little bit later. We're going to go through all the games of week 6 a little bit later Tonight, we will be recapping the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Philadelphia Eagles with Greg Rosenthal and mystery guest
Nate Tice joining me tonight.
Whoa, Nate Tice.
Friend of the show.
Good one. Good one. Pencil behind the ear. Maybe. We'll see. Then we're going to go through all the recaps of all the games. In addition to Thursday Night Football on Sunday, our flagship program. But first, we got to preview all of Week 6, and we do it draft style. But before we get to that, let's start with the primetime games. And if we're start with the primetime games, and if we're starting with Russell Wilson, his hand all bandaged up, leading to the backup quarterback having to play in prime time in front of Al, Chris, and the world, that can only mean it's time for one thing.
And now, another edition of Sipping on Vino, Checking on Gino.
You know, sometimes, Greg, I wondered and I worried that we'd never be able to play that drop again because Gino would never have another opportunity. But here we are, in the biggest of all spots, at the age of, let's say he's about 30. I think he's right around 30 years old. He's going to Pittsburgh to play a Steelers team, flawed as they are at 2-3, but with a great pass rush, with T.J. Watt leading the way, with some playmakers in the secondary. You were concerned when we talked about Gino in London having to start a game and really be out there, out in front. But he did play well in relief against the Rams. How do you feel about your boy, Gino Smith, in this spot and his team, by the way, in the hyper-competitive NFC West, desperately needing a win at 2-3 themselves?
I mean, I don't feel great. It's a different thing to come in for two quarters and look good. And Gino did look good. I mean, he was changing plays at the line of scrimmage. Troy Aikman was getting all excited. He's the 31-year-old. I always wondered, like, would this long fascination with Geno Smith ever result in him ever getting another chance? Because it felt like he was on the borderline when he had a rough concussion in the preseason of, like, could this be the end of Geno Smith's career? It's one thing to do that for two drives against the Rams. It's another for four quarters because the Seahawks are a bad team. I mean, that's like the whole story of this Seahawks season is Russell Wilson is basically the one thing that they have that they do well. I mean, they have Lockett and DK Metcalf on the outside. But other than that, it's one of the worst offensive lines in the league. It's a pretty bad running game. Statistically, it's one of the worst defenses in the league. It's basically, through five games, one of the worst Seahawks teams. I would say the worst that we've seen. That's a big ask for Geno Smith to come in here against
under
Pete Carroll and look like a guy who can move the ball up and down the field on a Steelers defense that I still have a lot of respect for.
Right. I think it's the Steelers defense factor. I mean, there was a couple plays against the Rams where I thought that essentially some of Geno's success was the Rams defense looking a little out of it, a little gas towards the end of that game. But you know what? He did, I thought, manage the game really well. I mean, he took a lot of time at the line of scrimmage, but they talked about the fact that like all of his nine completions basically were less than 10 air yards. He took what the Rams gave him. He was 1-for-7 on shots that were downfield. But I thought he made some plays, but Pittsburgh with a week to prepare is going to look at this team and say, number one, it's not just Geno. It's the fact that like the Seahawks late in that Rams game, doing all they could to stop the Rams. The Rams, like, we're going to run the ball. They put Daryl Henderson right up the gut of Seattle's defense, 12-yard gain. Seattle knew what was coming, couldn't stop it. I just look at the Seattle defense. It's last in the league in yardage. It's not the case with points allowed. They're about 20-something. But this is so atypical of where Pete Carroll has taken this team on previous journeys. And so to your point, Greg, if you take Russell Wilson out of the mix, Geno makes it a total mystery soup, and I'm not sure ends.
Like, we'll be taping the pod during the first half, and then, you know, peek behind the curtain. I watch the first half as the second half. Like, I'm missing this. This has been like a 7-year project for me, and we're missing the start of this game.
Well,
this isn't good.
It will be.
People are just going to be bombing me with like reactions, good or bad, and I won't know what's going on.
And remember, we have a viewing theater here at the new network offices, and you are welcome to sit right next to me. We could chop it up in the second half. And Mark, I'd love for you to join us as well. Greg has been keeping his distance from me in the theater, and it's been an issue that I've been dealing with privately and
as
publicly.
In doing like the guy thing where you don't sit next to each other in a movie. I mean, we actually went to a movie together once down in San Diego. I believe we sat next to each other. Did we not?
We did. We sat right next to each other and saw the Jennifer
COVID
Lawrence
times. Literally,
picture.
No one is sitting right next to each other. It's a big, nice
one,
thing that we're
I think
all talking.
One to two chairs space, venue, That's is fine. But you are 8 chairs separated.
That's pretty on the nose, Greg.
Maybe you could sit in between the giant space that Greg leaves between.
Well, maybe he was leaving a space for me, like you do at a table for someone who's passed away.
It's a phony bit.
It's a manufactured bit. I don't think so. The Steelers, the Steelers finally looked something of a balance, found something of a balance on offense. They set season highs last week in points, total yards, rushing yards against Denver, and you know Denver's got a good defense, and especially I think the rushing yardage jumped out because they were averaging just over 50 yards a game in the first 4 weeks of the season, and this is you know coming off the Najee Harris first round pick. Harris blows up, Greg. Ben Roethlisberger has some success. Is this something sustainable, especially against this defense?
Yes, this week. I was wondering if their offensive line played like that moving forward, then Mark can start getting a little worried again that the Steelers are going to do something. Like you were on the Steelers are going to collapse bandwagon.
I mean, for about a month and a half,
he jumped
in the spring.
Off it totally. And then at 1-3, right. It was like, oh, you should have stayed on it. But last week, like they pushed the Broncos around. It's not like Najee Harris suddenly was running better. It was just they absolutely like was pushing them backwards. If they can do that even just a little bit, their offense could be fine. But it's not like Roethlisberger played any better. He made a bunch of mistakes in that game, and he just had Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson making plays for him.
And if somehow you missed it, Russell Wilson underwent surgery on his right middle finger and is expected to return no earlier than week 10. So it is virtual must-win territory for Seattle.
I'd like to put a sandwich on him returning earlier than week 10.
Okay. No, I won't. Yeah, I won't challenge you on that.
I just feel like it feels very like they're going to set up a bar and then he's going to come back early, and that's okay.
That's a good move in life.
Right. But also, like, yeah, I don't want to take it away from him. I think he's an incredible competitor who stayed on the field his whole career.
But someone on our network literally said, like, he's like an incredible healer. He's one of the best.
Yeah, that I can't.
It's like, what are you talking
about?
There's a
huge mural. Well, there's murals everywhere in this new building, and right outside the commissary area, there's all these like buzzwords for believing in oneself, and one of them's like determination, and it's like a picture of like Russell Wilson like clasping his hands together, like biting his lower lip.
He's like drinking that concussion juice, the juice that like fixes your.
It's like that resonates with no group less than NFL media reporters.
Every time
let's get this done, Gino. By the way, let's win this game.
Oh,
maybe you don't
Greg.
Need. You know, maybe you win 17-16. Let's go Seahawks defense. Let's play some team football. And Gino can at least.
You're calling for an embarrassing loss for the Steelers, too, in week 6, fall to Geno Smith in a bad defense.
That'd be nice.
All right. That was it.
And that was another edition of
Let's Go.
Sipping on Vino, checking on Gino.
Frags with incredible voice work. Let's move to Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills, 4-1. So they had a primetime game last week, whooped up on the Chiefs at Arrowhead. That was grisly. If you're a Chiefs fan, and now they go to Tennessee to face the Titans, the 3-2 Titans, the Titans who got a big performance per usual from Derrick Henry in their win over the Jaguars. Here's a great, great stat on Henry. And we all know Henry is the guy that does it all for the Titans. He's that important to them. He is, without him, they are a bad team. And this stat from CBS, if you remember the Thursday night game and Gravedigger sitting in for Ricky, who's a little under the weather. The Thursday night game a couple of years back was against the Jaguars when he had 200 touchdowns or 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. From that game, it's been 40 games since, and it's the most productive stretch by a running back in NFL history. 4,792 yards over that span, just ahead of Jim Brown, who's a guy who's a guest on the ATL Debate Club. That's
back
how most people know him.
Actually said that he enjoyed the interview, which I don't think he was, you know, being phony about that.
I called him some of his behavior when he was younger is audacious. And he goes, that's a good word, young man. I said, all right, Jim Brown, thanks for the compliment. Anyway, so Derrick Henry's there. They got him. However, Mark, you have the Buffalo Bills here, and you have a team that's hitting on all cylinders right now, and even Derrick Henry might not be able to handle what's coming here.
Well, not to mention the rest of Tennessee's rather bland nature. And, you know, I think a team that's just sort of in the middle of the mix. Tannehill's the most sacked quarterback in the league. And Greg, you're a DVOA guy. There's the seventh worst team, Tennessee, in the league, DVOA wise. I mean, they're they're a bland middle of the pack team in a rough division. And the Bills shook off their early issues on offense and look unbeatable. I mean, they beat the Dolphins 35-0. They were utterly unstoppable against a bad Chiefs defense.
You don't have to like recap the whole like 6 weeks you were gone or whatever.
I'm looking back on what they've done.
It. You were
like,
plugged into the league while you were
this
ill.
This like slump that people were, you know, fretting over for a fortnight. It's like that's just early season blues.
And, right, and
like,
that was one game where they outgained the other team by 140 yards. Right,
it's the Steelers who I think can do that to certain teams.
Yeah, you're basically talking about the last time you were here.
That was the last time I was here. That's very fair. That's the last thing that I've touched, you know, as of you.
The world has moved on, Mark.
I do think though the Bills, here's the thing, they've added, it's not just last
Mark
year's
is, like,
team.
Mark is dusting off the cobwebs on his laptop right now.
Not true. I worked quite hard attempting to while gone, because you can't just skip a month of the
looks NFL like the season. Steelers are going to be okay.
That is absolutely not accurate. Here's what I like about the Bills. I think someone like Dawson Knox is coming into his own. Like Emmanuel Sanders was, by a good front office, a really good addition. I wanted the Ravens to get him a year ago because he plugs in really well. He's been good for them. Well, I think Leslie Frazier has been coordinator of the year material. Gregory Rousseau is all over the place. I just think it's as much the Bills' defense as the offense. In Tennessee, I don't trust them to use this game as anything other than a primetime embarrassment to some degree.
Okay, so the Super Bowl last year with the Chiefs, it was such, the whole thing was a blur for us personally and everything. But like that game, it was so weird to watch the Chiefs getting beat up on. But what I saw on Sunday against the Bills was even stranger, and this is a credit to Buffalo, where it felt like they knew everything the Chiefs were going to do on defense. And there was nothing when Patrick Mahomes tried to get it heated up to try to get back in that game. It was just wasn't there. And I think that shows you the preparation of this team, and also that they just seem they are ready to take that next step and become a true superpower, Super Bowl level team. And I'm with you. I think this does not set up well for the Titans, who, Greg, don't have a lot of, I'm sure they'll tell you they have a lot of urgency, but they're playing in this terrible division where they're going to win 8 games and probably win the division, and they could handle a loss here. I'm not saying that's going to lead to them not giving you a good effort in this game, but it just feels like these are two different teams at two different places.
I mean,
right
the now. The Bills have been the best team in the league, and the Titans are far from that. They should have Julio Jones back this week. A.J. Brown was back, but hasn't really produced at all this year, which is a weird subplot of the Titans. The only thing that the Titans could hope is, you know, it's a little bit of a letdown. The Bills, you know, get that big win in prime time in Kansas City. That's slaying the dragon. But the Bills should remember that game last year. Don't you guys remember? They were both undefeated Monday Night Football, and the Titans destroyed. They put a 40-burger on the Bills. They won by about 30 points in that game. So the Bills should be looking for a little revenge. And we're not even allowed to lock this one up, or else I would, because on the road. It is crazy. The Derrick Henry thing, I do want to point out just like how crazy he is right now. Not only is he leading the league in, you know, yards, carries, and rushing touchdowns for the third straight year, that's crazy. He has 142 carries right now. The next closest player has 94.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, he's also, you know, he's on pace for, because of the 17 games, about 475 carries. So he has broken every rule that there is. And there's still a part of me that's like, I don't know.
Can you
keep doing this?
Yeah,
forever?
They're just like, we're going to do it, and we're going to see if he can keep it up. But yeah, he's on pace to shatter the all-time single-season carry record. And by the way, not for nothing, the rushing record. So here's the last thing on this game. From the Bills' side of things, since week two, you throw out the Pittsburgh game, they're first in points per game, first in points per game allowed, first in point differential, first in turnover differential, first in sack difference, and first in average margin of victory. Yeah, they're the best team in football right now. And that's going to be a lot for Tennessee to handle. All right, let's now move out of the primetime window and to our draft. Ooh. And Mark, since you've been out of the office, I think, you know, give you a little cookie. First overall pick.
I mean, I'm like an expansion team, so you've got to give that person a chance to build, you know, from the ground up at this point. I mean, I'm not going to – I don't fear that one of you would steal this, but
– that means you have to take the Jaguars.
That does not mean that. That game's open.
We'll all be up at 6:30. We'll all be watching Dolphins Jags.
Go ahead, Mark.
Most of us will. I am going to take Arizona at Cleveland because I think it's one of the best games of the week, and it's Cleveland, I think, trying to
And they're your favorite team.
They are my
nice
favorite
team. The Browns available to draft and watch the last few weeks, I got to admit.
I have to say something about the Browns. They really annoyed me last week, but I don't understand how you come out of that game blaming everything on Baker Mayfield, who, look at, he has missed throws the last 2 weeks. I don't think his left shoulder has been healthy in that sling. People that have had that injury say that takes about 3 weeks to get used to, if not more. There's obviously chemistry issues with Odell Beckham that last week really cost them the week before. So I'm not here to say that Baker Mayfield's been perfect, but last week against Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they were so injury riddled on defense. They were down to their fourth, fifth, sixth defensive back, and those guys were getting injured in a game where they gave up 47 points. What about the defense a few weeks before when Clowney was in there, when they had their full complement of players? So they're a little healthier this week, but I don't think it gets any easier with the Cardinals. I watched this Arizona team, and they are energy. They are confidence. They boldly pass the ball deep. And you look at what the front office has done. Adding someone like Rondale Moore was such a perfect addition that the point where DeAndre Hopkins is sometimes not really even the center point of this passing attack. I think this is another very tough draw for Cleveland, who the one thing about the Browns, I know they're like one of the best fourth quarter offenses in terms of when they're leading and their ground game is churning out, which has happened in multiple games. But I look at the Browns and kind of say, you aren't the Ravens. You aren't some of these other teams because you can't close games out. They could have two more wins than they do right now if you look at them a little differently.
I mean, I think the Baker thing, like whatever, he played great and the offense played great against the Chargers. So like the sling thing, you keep hearing that, like how much that bothered him. But there's also a lot of evidence at this point in his career that he's streaky. Sometimes right. he's really good.
What happened last week had nothing to do with his arm. Here's why people get on him. Because when he gets the ball, not only does Kevin Stefanski run it on 3rd and 10 when you're trying to put the game away, which kind of shows a little bit of a lack of confidence. Bigger. The problem is when you get the ball with 1:30 left and you got one timeout, I believe, at that point, that's where the quarterback takes control. And he ran an awful 2-minute drive. He made a bunch of bad decisions where he throws it 2 yards in the middle of the field. And that's the moment that's like the quarterback has to be the quarterback and he has to be the guy who runs it. And he didn't run it. And so that's why he gets the grief, I think. And I think it makes sense. It doesn't mean he gets all the grief. He played pretty well. But that's the moment people like are wanting out of Baker Mayfield.
I think that's fair.
It's fair. I think that he's treated a little differently than other quarterbacks. But enough with Baker because, I mean, it's Kyler Murray to me who 3 months ago, I looked at this Cardinals team thinking that they were going to be the team that took a dirt nap in that division, even if they probably still would win 7 or 8 games. And you have to give Cliff Kingsbury a ton of credit for what they've done. And it's not just him. I think Vance Joseph on defense has done the kind of job that could give Cleveland problems. They are, I believe, one of the worst, the fifth worst run defense.
You sound nervous about this game, Mark.
Well, they're undefeated. And listen, remember when they added the 17th game?
They're favored.
I don't care if Cleveland is favored.
They're favored by a field goal.
Well, that means nothing to me.
They're catching him in the right week.
I guess you're catching them at home. You don't have Chandler Jones.
You don't have Rodney Hudson. You don't have Chandler Jones. Those are two of their very best players. There's some reports about more COVID tests might be positive there. I don't know if that's coaches or what. But the availability is pretty huge because Clowney, Garrett, you know, McKinley, Ward, you know, maybe you get Ward back, it sounds like. But you don't really know if these guys are playing or not.
We don't know.
Where do you, 5 games into the season, Mark, what grade would you give the Browns right now? What do you feel about them right now?
B+.
Okay, so you feel good.
I think they're a B+ team, and they aren't an A team until they can beat the Chargers and knock out other teams that are growing.
It's a nice opportunity, though, just to kind of wipe the taste off, and you beat the undefeated team, and you get to 4-2, and you feel good.
I was agitated in my house watching this, and
right.
Also not at work, so you think it's a vacation day. It's not. It's like...
That was such a and it didn't work out because they lost the game, Mark, but you had... We're in London. You're not working. The Browns are playing. They're playing at a building that's like a mile away from your house. You got to be at that game.
I don't have to be.
You got
to
get in that building.
How do you
your last chance to ever do it.
How do you explain? First of all, like it just wasn't going to happen. I was still in recovery mode to some degree. But how would I explain to any of you or anyone that I work with that I'm, you know, joking around
this entire building
while
all
you guys are working?
All people do in this building is go to the games across the street.
Well, that is fair. But
We would not have chagrined. We would have had no issue
with it. Well, you texted me and said as much. Yeah. But I know it was not on the table mentally.
All right, let's move on. Who do you got in the game, by the way?
I'm taking the Browns. I think they're a better team. I mean, the Cardinals are good, but if ever the Cardinals are going to lose a game, it's like on the road, out of conference. They're missing their guys. Their offense, you know, had some struggles last week. Not that that's an overarching concern, but I think the Browns are a better team.
I pick Cleveland, I think, like 30-29, but just because.
And I think kind of my thought about the Browns is like their defense stunk last Sunday, but that happens every once in a while. That game turned into a track meet. But we've seen their defense that it could be great. We've seen the offense can be great. Browns are going to be okay. Yeah, the Cardinals are due for a loss. I got the Browns too. All right, before Greg's up, let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my game.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, let's move to Greg.
Oh, should have thought about this a little ahead of time, and now my computer is frozen.
And he loses his draft spot. I mean, oh, like, I raced in like the Vikings getting banged
like
the other day.
To him
and
the Vikings.
All right, I will take Chargers Ravens.
No,
gotcha.
No.
You got Vikinged.
No.
You got Vikinged, baby.
I got to take Lamar and Justin Herbert.
Wait a second.
I take it back.
Wait a second.
I don't
Mark, you have to decide this because
this has never happened. But
he had the clock just like what happened to the Vikings about 10 years ago.
3 seconds.
I know, but so I'm thrust back into the studio and must create a chasm between Greg and I.
Graver.
Come on. It's Lamar. It's Herbert. I've done the groundwork.
You only appreciate these quarterbacks?
No, but I've put in the work.
I feel like Greg is really strict about the locks, and if he's going to be that strict about that,
there was no rules to this in terms of time. We're waiting for this computer is from 2014 to unfreeze.
That's your issue. So has he been hopscotched? Is that?
It seemed like the pick was turned into the podium before Greg got
Greg.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to watch it anyways. It doesn't really matter.
All right,
well, that will be the thing where you're watching the game, but so is Greg.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, so I'll take the Chargers at the Ravens. Oh. Beautiful game. And we have Justin Herbert, who's a man possessed and absolutely in the running right now for MVP. Hey, but guess what? Lamar Jackson, he's already been an MVP, and he just put together one of the great performances that I remember on Monday Night Football in terms of a going off and being unstoppable for a long stretch of play. So you have 2 4-1 teams here. Fighting it out, first place AFC West, first place AFC North. Greg, do you take anything?
Well, this game's ruined for me now. I haven't been more excited about a game all season.
You'll still be able to watch it. It's just that was maybe when your draft, when the card comes in, you got to be ready to turn it in. You got to get up to that podium.
I mean, Greg, if you were this excited, if it's the most excited you've been for a game, I don't know what the pause was when you were.
Well, I wasn't really thinking. I wanted to like look at it. We'll see what's at 1-4.
Anyway, so the Ravens, you know, very easily could have lost the game against the Colts. Do you take anything out of that? That they kind of got lucky a little bit Monday in addition to everything else. And the Chargers, meanwhile, are just a more impressive team through 5 weeks.
Oh, if you want to go with luck, they're both one of, you know, two of the luckiest teams in the league. Depends if you want to, how much you put into like winning games like that is skill or luck, because the Ravens have come from way behind three different times this year. And the Chargers, I tend to think, have just closed really well. I don't know if they've gotten lucky, but certainly they've hit a million fourth downs where the game would have been totally different. They've outscored opponents 59.
It's been a little different. The profiles of the games have been different.
They've been a little different. But they're the two best closers in the league is what I mean. Lamar and Herbert. The Chargers have outscored opponents 59-28 in the fourth quarters, which is just crazy to think that the Chargers are the clutch team now. Like the Chargers are the clutch team making smart decisions at the end.
Such a jinx.
And the Ravens are the like way more imbalanced team because they can't run the ball.
Right.
I think that's been a little under the radar that like their running game is bad. The Chargers have closed out multiple games, including against the Browns, being able to run the ball somewhat, whereas the Ravens can't run it. Everyone who just got on Greg Roman over and over, it's like you've only got one thing you can do. It's like they're totally different now.
You got on Greg Roman a little bit too.
It's working. Right? Like, oh, you're predictable. They are anything but predictable now. They are a pass heavy team. I want to see a little more Tyson Williams, though. Enough of this like yesterday's news collection of players that they just keep trotting out there. Tyson Williams at least has some juice.
I mean, it's different to be the Steelers who can't run the ball, and it's Big Ben sitting back there versus the Ravens, and it's Lamar Jackson. I think any coach is like, you still have to.
And Lamar can still run the ball, but he can't even in that game last week. I think that was he's not running it that well on design runs right now. They're not running it.
And the fumbles are still there. But like, talk about creating your own luck, though. I mean, both these teams go for it on fourth down. Justin Herbert, you know, metrically is the best thrower on third and fourth down in the league right now, and it looks that way. And the Ravens, they had drives of 80, 79, 75, 78, 75, and 68 yards down the stretch against the Colts. That's not luck.
And you know it is luck, though. Lamar did lose a fumble. Lost the fumble at the goal line, and he came within a cat's whisker of losing the game with another goal line fumble. So yes, I guess there is some fortune around this team for sure. But as much as like we could get like, oh, they need to figure out their running game, they lead the entire NFL in yards per game. They have 440 yards per game. And then what you said about Baker and his inability to kind of zone in and take control of that game in the big spot. Like Herbert is on the other side of the field. Maybe that's why they won 47-42 because Herbert, you put him in a big spot and he just is one of those guys that gets better. This could be the best quarterback matchup of the year.
I can't wait. That's why I drafted.
But you waited too long.
No.
That's the problem.
It's also got a potential offensive rookie of the year versus defensive rookie of the year matchup where they actually are against each other in Rashawn Slater versus Odafe Oweh, who's both of them are playing lights out. Slater's turned into maybe if you could redraft all the tackles from the last 2 years, people might take Slater above them all. That's how good he's looked. And Oweh has been incredible. Otherwise, I don't know. Like neither defense is very good. The Ravens defense is below average this year. Chargers defense just kind of gives up yards. So I would expect it to be a shootout.
Slater was on Myles Garrett and they kept trying to help him with chip blocks. And he said, enough with the chip block. I'll handle it myself. And he did fine.
We talked about it downstairs, Mark. Myles Garrett decorated his house for Halloween and has tombstones with quarterbacks' names written all over them. And he has a Justin Herbert tombstone.
Well, it's like, first of all,
maybe not.
You can update the Halloween
decorations.
He
did get a sack. He did get a sack.
Well, maybe that's how he's monitoring whether or not the quarterback is under 6 feet under the earth. I mean, the Browns lost. So I mean,
400 yards and five TDs. You know? All right, Greg, you are on the clock.
Oh, yeah.
You are on the clock. And guess what? It's snaking to you. So you're not going to get popped by anybody behind you.
All right. I'll take the worst game possible since I'm just going to watch Chargers-Ravens. Anyways, Texans-Colts off the top.
That is a terrible terrible pick.
I think the Texans should be happy. They get to see Davis Mills for another week. It's like if Tyrod Taylor was ready to come back, and some people are been conspiracy theorists being like, are they trying to tank? Because Tyrod, you know, maybe he should be back. And Laremy Tunsil's now out for a month with the surgery. Davis Mills just played the best game any rookie
right,
quarterback
put him on the bench.
Right. Any rookie quarterbacks played this year. It was shocking, but he made some great throws on the move. So you want to see him for another week. And if you're the Colts, I think you still feel like you have a chance here this season. Their offense has looked a little better each and every week. I think Carson Wentz has looked a little better each and every week. You might get T.Y. Hilton back at some point somewhat soon. And you got to just take care of business here.
And that's why, you know, so many reasons why that was just a brutal loss on Monday night for the Colts. If you find a way to win that game on Monday, then you got the Texans right after that in your building, and then you're 3-3, and that could put you in a first place tie after week six in your division. I mean, that's what we're talking about in terms of what's going on in the AFC South. But to that point, even with that loss, if you get this win, you get to 2-4, you're hanging around in your division. I guess, Mark, it is a kind of a measuring stick game. I talked about it, how, you know, some losses are so bad it can ruin your season. Don't get beat here. Don't let Davis Mills light you up the way Davis Mills lit up the Patriots in week five.
I mean, it's a huge, if there's any team on the how do you respond, bus, it's the Colts, because that's the kind of thing where it could end a season for a team that's not mentally tough. I think they are. If Davis Mills does what he did last week, or anything close, he becomes a thing. I mean, I thought he made incredible throws on fourth down late in the game. I love what Tim Kelly, their offensive coordinator, did early on. Their first drive was an 18-play, 79-yard touchdown drive that took 10 minutes off the clock against Bill Belichick, the best showing against the Patriots defense. So, also, I mean, coming off maybe the worst game a quarterback's played by Davis Mills against Buffalo the week before.
It's been a roller coaster.
So, let's see what he does. I mean, but if you're the Texans, why shove Tyrod Taylor back in there? It's a lost season. Find out what you have.
And keep an eye on Jonathan Taylor, who's been heating up the last 2 weeks. Remember, by the end of last season, he was all but unstoppable, and that could be a major
right. Their defense played their best three quarters of the year by far in Baltimore, and their offensive line played their best game of the year. So I thought they had some good things in that game. All right.
Shocking pick.
I need a late game. Well, I needed a game that I'm not going to really watch because I'm going to watch.
But you will watch it, though, because you have to be a professional.
Right.
Well, I will later in the week on game.
But what about Sunday night?
That's your
time. Don't you understand what we're doing here, Greg? We watch two games,
right,
and then a third, and then we talk about it Sunday night.
Right, but with the bye weeks, I'll be fine. It'll work out.
No, but you have to be able to know. Okay. The listeners know. No, Mark understands.
Well, I thought it would be me that needed a rules refresher, but it's apparently not.
You just have to have eyes on that game, and that's a rough game to have eyes on. Even if your primary game you're paying attention to is Chargers Ravens, you can't not watch the game you just drafted third overall.
Is Colts Texans.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Raiders Broncos. I'll take late. This is a big game. Each of these teams, two-game losing streak, both feeling like their season could really start going next level, like in the hole, if they lose this game. I'm not really of the mind that the Raiders are lost because they just got rid of like some demigod who was probably not that fun to play for in the first place for the next 13 weeks. I just think there's been this weird idea that like, oh, the Raiders are done now because John Gruden's gone. And I think there's an equally good chance that John Gruden being out of the building is a positive, that, you know, I think you could almost feel that with some of Mayock's quotes. This is a guy that wasn't a lot of fun, I don't think, to play for. I don't think they're going to necessarily be better and that their flaws go away, but I certainly don't think that losing John Gruden means the team is in way worse shape.
I know now, because of everything that happened, now John Gruden wasn't worth a damn, but he was a very important person in that building, and he was the offensive coordinator, essentially, and he was the guy that worked with Derek Carr, that coached him up, got him to a much better place. With him just disappearing, I don't think you could say that that doesn't matter. And now you have the special.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but why?
Or makes them better is what you're saying.
I'm saying it. I don't think it makes them worse necessarily.
Or did we hear you're saying like people didn't like playing for John Gruden? I don't remember hearing a lot of that before this happened.
I'm just saying he has been the most important person in them being a below average franchise for 4 years. So getting rid of him in any other scenario, you wouldn't be like, oh, they're screwed now. They have professional, you know, people love Bisaccia. you know, big time Bisaccia fan. Greg Olsen's, you know, called plays for Derek Carr before.
Bisaccia
heads. It's not like he hasn't been a coordinator in the league. I'm just saying.
It's just a big rotation, like, on the fly. I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from. By the way, Mike Mayock spoke with the media about everything that's gone on. Here is his kind of overarching thoughts. We'll start here with what's going on around the Raiders.
The way I grew up, the Raiders always stood for diversity. They had the first Latino quarterback, Tom Flores. He also became the second Latino head coach. The first African-American head coach was Art Schell. The first female CEO was Amy Trask. Obviously, all of that was under Al Davis's watch. This week, his son, Mark Davis, I think had a tough time. He had a tough week.
And then he was asked about, you know, with the comments that leaked, the Gruden emails and how that reflects on a primarily black locker room. And, oh, by the way, Carl Nassib, the first ever openly gay player, was also on the Raiders and who requested and received a personal day on Wednesday away from the team. Mayock hit that as well.
I've talked to several of the black players. Okay. I think we've reached out to a bunch of players, black and white. Everybody's got emotions and feelings. I've talked to some of the people in my department that are black and my director of pro scouting. And I just said, DJ, I can't put myself in your shoes. Help me. So we've spent a pretty good amount of time trying to help these guys and talk with these guys, not talk out at them, but with them. And the other thing I would say is just for Carl, let's be honest. He's a community of one that's openly gay. Okay. We do have a large community of African-American players, we're trying to do everything we can for that community as well, obviously. It started there. Okay, nobody's forgetting that. And I'm trying to work with everyone, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, I think that shows that your focus, no matter how much you want it to be just on the Broncos, is in all sorts of other places. Because, Greg, I kind of even hear what you're saying, that maybe the Gruden experience leaving the building from a football angle, from a refresher angle, might for some people be maybe Mayock. Like, there was a power vacuum there. But the idea that so many people trusted Gruden, and then you find out all this stuff, like, these are young people. I think there are a lot of people affected. It also, what it doesn't change, though, is that the Raiders team that I've watched over the last couple of weeks cannot run the ball. They cannot stop the run. Their offensive line has been a disaster. They had 8 holding penalties last week, one which took away a touchdown that turned into a field goal. That's a big problem for Derek Carr. I don't buy into the stuff that Derek Carr isn't tough, this or that. Anyone playing NFL quarterback as long as he has, I don't, those questions, and I think a lot of players feel the same way, don't care about that issue. But he is under duress, and he's certainly, like a lot of other quarterbacks, not the same quarterback when that's happening. And I look at teams, no matter who the coach is, when you cannot run, cannot stop the run, the offensive line has major issues with players moving to positions they never played, you've got issues against the Broncos defense. By the way, the Broncos, how about be a little more creative on offense? Like, I understand that, you know, you don't have Justin Herbert at quarterback, but you go watch the way they came out last week against Pittsburgh. Zero creativity, 3 drives that each went for about 20 yards total. Come on, Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur heat. I mean, it is one of those situations where, like, everything everyone said the whole offseason ended up being right, which is the offensive line moves that they made. It's killed them. It's just killing their season. The Raiders, like, can't function on offense because of their offensive line. But this is a good matchup for it. The Broncos have one of the worst pass rushers in the entire NFL. I think they're second or third to last in pass rush win rate. It's basically Von Miller and then County on the secondary.
Where do you stand? I asked Mark about his team, the Browns. Where you stand on the Broncos right now through 5 weeks? Teddy's come down to earth a little bit. The defense.
One of his best games last week. It's not a good situation when I think Teddy is beating any expectation that I had for him, and the team's not good. Like, the strengths that they were supposed to have are not strengths right now. You have Hamler, Judy, and Okwuegbunam out, so that you had this, like, 6-pack of guys that were going to be catching passes. 3 of them are gone. You thought the pass rush with Chubb and Miller would be good. Chubb isn't there. The pass rush is bad. And then the secondary is, like, kind of sprung some leaks too. So these strengths that I was expecting haven't really been strengths. Teddy's exceeded.
He's pretty high in your QB index. I know
we're not huge fans of Teddy. He played great last week in that game against Pittsburgh. Like, in just in terms of offensive efficiency.
They had 19 points, and he ended the game with an interception in the end zone. How great could he have been?
On a fourth down throw, I thought he played really well in that game. If you go throw to throw, I thought it was probably his best start of the year, including the first 3 weeks. He is number one in the league in EPA plus completion percentage over expected. I don't think he's the best quarterback in the league, but it kind of shows how they've moved the ball efficiently. He hasn't made any mistakes. But you need him to just if him being average is not enough, they're not going to be good.
That's and you got to win this game. You got to find a way to win this game. If you don't beat them, you're on a 3-game losing streak, and then you go to Cleveland. And I guess it kind of gets back to the Teddy experience. Like, he's not going to take your team and lift them up when there are a lot of issues around it. He's a good guy when things are set up well around him. He's kind of like a Sam Darnold type. We'll see what happens with the Broncos this week.
They're going to get some
kind of like that spice rack thing. The, pick the team that has a lot of drama rallying around
the interim.
Chaos. All right. I'm up. I will select the final late game on the board, Cowboys at Patriots. Cowboys have been awesome, just awesome. And, you look at them and they just had a three-game homestand where they just kind of went off and flexed their muscles, and they outscored the Eagles, Panthers, and Giants 121-69. They pass the ball well. They run the ball well. They are much better on defense, and they have something really interesting cooking here in that they have a legitimate MVP candidate in Dak. They have a legitimate rookie defensive of the year candidate in Micah Peters, and they have a legitimate defensive player of the year candidate in Trayvon Diggs. That's the recipe for a lot of W's.
I mean, they're a juggernaut. I don't know why everyone is clinging on so hard to their previous Cowboys opinions that they're anything but, the best team in the NFC or one of the best teams in the NFL. That's just who they are. It seems very obvious. Maybe things could change, but the offense isn't going to change. The defense is not just getting by. They're like a top 10 type of defense right now. I was stunned that this game started as almost an even point spread before bettors, went heavy on the Cowboys and moved it to 4.
How is that even possible? I know the Patriots are a legacy brand, but typically the line's smarter than that even at the start, correct?
Well, who knows? Like
what's the case?
Like the Vegas made so much money on almost the entire country picking the Bucks, as heavy favorites a couple weeks ago, and the Bucks didn't cover that game. Maybe it's a little bit of a residual effect of that, of like the Patriots at home will cook some stuff up. But I don't get it, because sure, the Patriots could come up with one of their great game plans to slow it down, and Mac Jones, like, it's possible. But these aren't the Patriots. They're -3 in turnover margin. That's like the most un-Patriots thing possible. Jonnu Smith is a disaster. And their defensive rankings, to me, are entirely a reflection of the teams they've played. I don't think they've been a particularly good defense.
Yeah, they're 26th in scoring, too. And I could see the Cowboys, on a weekly basis putting up 35. And this is kind of the Cowboys team that we did believe in a few years ago. PFF has them, as of yesterday, their number one offensive line. They're dominant on the ground. Pollard, it leads the league in yards per carry. And I think he has about 50-something carries compared to about 80-something for Zeke. So it's both of them. They're very effective. And, I mean, they've got arguably the best cast of wideouts in the NFC, and it's working. I mean, it's basically what was happening on offense a year ago before Dak went down. But on the flip side, Dan Quinn has the defense simplified and organized. So it's a more complete team.
And the Patriots, in theory, are built to stop the run, but they really haven't been. They haven't looked good. Lawrence Guy and Dont'a Hightower both have looked a lot older this year, and those are two guys that normally stop the run well. They both are coming off their best games of the season against Houston, so maybe that's a little bit to feel better about if you're a Patriots fan, but they just seem like they wouldn't have enough answers to slow Dallas down.
I know he doesn't have a lot of juice, and I think that's why it's been fairly muted in general with Mac Jones, but the fact that four out of their five games, he's over 70% completions percentage, and then you look at some of the other rookie quarterbacks and how much they're struggling. I think if you're a Pats fan, you're feeling really good about Jones. Maybe not right now. Maybe right now it's, he's a guy that he makes a lot of turnover-worthy plays every week, and and he's not somebody that's going to get you to jump out of your seat like a Trey Lance or whatever. But I feel like he's developing. And,
yeah, I'm shocked that Patriots fans aren't more into Mac Jones, because I think I'm with you. I think he's played really well.
Yeah, I mean, and that was I know it's the Houston Texans, but, you know, that is the type of heady type drive down the field stuff that, first of all, Bill Belichick dreams about with a smile on his face. And B, like, first-year quarterback. I think he seems like he's ready to progress, and this time next year is going to be leading this offense with confidence, and I'd be feeling good about it if I'm a Pats fan. I just feel like it's been under the radar. Why is that?
I think it's the comparison game, too, because remember his pro day when we did our podcast that day where he did it the same time as Justin Fields? And Fields makes you get up out of your seat with some of the stuff he does. And Mac Jones just fits, I think, well into a system. And, I mean, his arm strength, I might have a few questions about that, but I think he manages New England really well. But it's like you then are watching Patrick Mahomes.
I think
you're watching
Justin
Herbert.
The offense is bad. Like, yeah. He has felt like the least of their problems to me, relatively, you know, adjusting for having a rookie quarterback. I mean, Jonnu Smith is a disaster. You know,
why do you say he's a disaster? Just because of his,
I mean,
lack of offensive output, or is there more to it?
He's block. All they're having him do now is block.
Yeah,
and he's not even doing that.
Expensive
well.
Blocker.
He hasn't. You know, he's had so many drops. He's not making explosive plays. He just doesn't seem confident at all. Nelson Aguilar, I wouldn't say is a disaster, but he's fairly close. I mean, I'd rather have Jacoby Myers or Kendrick Bourne on the team the rest of the year than Nelson Aguilar, who you were expecting to come in and make a big impact. The offensive line has been disappointing, and now they're really injured. They might be missing three of their starters again this week. It's, you know, it's kind of everything around Mac Jones.
I think you're right.
And I think it's tougher to sign like a huge free agent class when you don't know who your quarterback is. You didn't know it was going to be a rookie quarterback rounding into shape. Because on the flip side, like Matt Judon seems like Bill Belichick's dream player.
Judon's been great, but they spent a ton of money on their offense to make it better, and it's just not working right now.
Last week there were some positive signs. Who knows? Like, here's what they got to do is win one of these games. Because they have about every other week they play one of the best teams in the league. They had the Bucs a couple weeks ago. They have another couple tough ones. Like, they got to win one of these to get in the mix,
but,
or else they're going to keep being 2-4 and 3-5 and just be a forgettable team.
Bad news, Greg. Probably. They ain't going to win this game.
No, I don't think so.
And I'm so certain of it.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to lock up America's team. And you know what? What are we doing, Desert? 3.5 points. Okay. I'm running to lock this game up, because what about the Cowboys tells you they're going to trip up on the Patriots, who just are relentlessly middling at this stage? All right, we'll be right back after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, here we go. We're back. Mark, you're up, baby. Two in a row.
Well, I've just done a Greg thing and have no idea what game to pick here. But actually, you know what? I like this 1 o'clock Vikings at Panthers offering. That's good. Early in the day.
Good. It's a good pick.
Two teams that interest me, especially Carolina. And I'd ask you this with the Panthers. Are you concerned more about Sam Darnold after what we saw last week? Where, I mean, he made some mistakes. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. It sounds like McCaffrey could be back this week, game time position.
He didn't practice on Thursday. So now it's starting to be like, uh-oh.
See.
They might be. I think sometimes it's like it just makes sense that when Christian McCaffrey exited the picture that and the competition jumped up, that Darnold could run into some issues. And that's exactly what's happened against Dallas and Philadelphia. I think Darnold is good when things are cooking and you have a nice setup around you and the opponent is right. But I think we're seeing some of these traits from his time in New York where he can get into some bad habits sometimes and make some mistake throws. And you've seen that the last 2 weeks. I don't think that's going away. I think this is the Sam Darnold experience.
I'm curious to watch it go throughout the course of the season. But he is top five in the league in fumbles, sacks taken, and interceptions. So normally if like a quarterback was top four actually in each, if a quarterback is in the top four of each of those, you would think he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Now he's made a lot of really good plays. Even last week in that game, like he's made good throws, and when he has to go to the second and third read, things get wonky, but there's just way too many negative plays. And that I like the Vikings and Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin to kind of get after him because that Panthers O-line has gotten a little bit worse each week too.
I don't know though. The thing is seeing Dante Jackson last week for the Panthers defense, Hassan Reddick, like they just seem to have guys that show up week after week. I don't know if Shaq Thompson will be back this time around, but they didn't have him a week ago. But the Vikings, I mean, you know, you look at the Lions game and the Browns game before that, Kirk Cousins is playing fine, but they have lost, you know, their way on offense to some degree. They still can make explosive plays. You still see Kirk Cousins making key throws to Thielen down the stretch last week that helped set up that win. But that was the Lions, a banged up, wanting Lions defense. So I just view the Vikings as a team that could underwhelm under Mike Zimmer week after week, or they might surprise you. The Panthers, to me at least, are consistently coached well week after week. And I think they're daring. They went for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 35 2 weeks ago. They'll do anything it takes. I like guys like Tommy Tremble and Chuba Hubbard. This team, to me, is exciting. I'm interested.
Chuba Wubba. I think it's Chuba Hubbard, isn't it? Chuba. Yeah, the Vikings, you guys know I like the Vikings, but they're killing me. They're impossible to figure out, and they're so up and down. And, you know, in week four, they score right off the bat against the Browns and then go into a shell for the last 55 minutes of game time, lose that 14-7. And then against the Lions, what are we doing here? How are we not in your building? And I know you don't have Dalvin Cook, but Madison has been a good reserve for them. How are you not running the Lions out of that building? How do you almost blow that game?
It was like they had a first down with the 10-point lead with like 3 minutes left.
Right, but even before that, it was like,
how it got into that situation.
So then you almost blow the game, and then Greg Joseph, of all people, hit it, Joseph, like bails you out with a kick, but it's like, who can you expect against the Panthers? I think it's a good game because both these teams are a bit unpredictable at this juncture. I really would like to see Christian McCaffrey back. I think it's interesting and notable when we tape now that he didn't practice on Thursday. I wonder if that means we're going to see Chuba again. Chuba.
Yeah, that'd be bad news. I thought this Vikings team was going to be so good running the ball after weeks 2 and 3. And then they've been pretty inconsistent. Like, that's how you beat the Snow Patrol. You run right through them. Yes. Their edge defense, you know, they got steamrolled by Dallas. Everyone gets steamrolled by Dallas, but they got steamrolled more than everyone else. And then last week, late in that game, the Eagles actually ran the ball when they wanted to on the edge to kind of put them away. So you'd like to see a little Dalvin Cook, a little Madison running through them.
Mark.
All right, I've got a second early game. I'm going to go Rams at Giants. This Giants team, I don't know who they annoyed up in the heavens where you cannot get any of their players on the field at the same time. You know, watching Saquon Barkley getting carted off, Daniel Jones, a really disturbing kind of drunken hobble after he was head injured.
Well put.
Is that how you call that? Head injury?
You had the drunken hobble was perfect, and then the head injury, not as good. Concussed. You can say concussed.
Head injury works for me. Mm-hmm. I think this is a game where the
injury
Rams
to the head suffered a brain injury.
That's another way you could go with it. I hear you.
Go ahead.
Concussed.
Stafford, I don't know. Like Stafford makes these, and he gets in sync with the offense, and they have huge, you know, quarters. They had like against the Seahawks last time we saw them. Their third quarter, they had 211 yards for 16 to the Seahawks, and they can do that. They were also 0-for-5 on third downs in the first half. They're streaky, and I feel like Stafford is a little bit streaky inside this offense. I wonder, you know, what Sean McVay would say about him at this point.
Wow.
I mean, I think he's been very good, but has he been? Some metrics will suggest he's sort of just in the middle on his overall play.
He's missed a lot of throws. The scheme has opened it up. I don't think he's played that well. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I don't have him in the top 10 because you have to evaluate.
Is he ahead or behind Teddy Bridgewater?
No, he's definitely ahead.
He is ahead.
Close call.
Teddy's in the middle. Stafford just has a pretty good degree of difficulty in so many drives and because he misses throws. But I'm not worried about it because the fact that they have these open throws, that's what matters. And going up against this Giants defense, which hasn't really been what we expected. You know, they lose Dalvin Tomlinson and suddenly they can't stop the run. They really don't get after the quarterback very well. Like, there's not a lot of reason to think the Giants defense is going to slow them down for long. And on the other side, they're just like, it's another week of like, who's going to play for the Giants? Kenny Galladay?
Brutal.
Probably not. Saquon Barkley? Probably not. Daniel Jones probably will. And that's the key one. He gives them a chance because he will have the most important player on the Giants, which is Kadarius Toney.
I love you some Kadarius Toney. You've been hot in the pants about him.
I mean, it took one game to realize like this guy is going to make every draft Nick who killed Gettleman for this pick and then killed him even more as he was having a bad offseason. Like, oh, you guys were all so wrong because it's just like it's so obvious. And then literally the next game he goes for 189. I mean, what's not to like? It reminds me a lot of Odell Beckham coming in after being out at the beginning of the season, just being like, oh, this guy is going to be a star.
Who's Odell Beckham?
While. He's this guy on the Browns. He's like, I think he's behind Rashard Higgins and
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah.
What happened there, Mark? How do they score 42 points and he gets two catches for 20 yards? Like, what is going on there?
He doesn't fit.
Anyway,
Toney does fit.
Toney fits. It was good to see. This feels like it happened a million years ago because we were in London on top of it. But it was good to see Robert Woods back in that offense. 14 targets, 12 catches, 150. Against the Seahawks. And I just think, yeah, Stafford, you could look at the numbers and he has missed some throws, but their offense is so much better this year with him involved instead of Goff. And when you have Cooper Kupp, I know DeSean Jackson's been quiet, but he's healthy. Tyler Higbee. And then you add Robert Woods to it with a running game. That's fine. The Rams are just going to keep winning. This is a 12 win team to me. Maybe 13.
They're like 10-point favorites or something on the road here. Darrell Henderson, I think, matters for this team. When he plays, I just think they're better. And Jackson, like, is in the perfect spot. He makes one big play a week. That's, like, exactly what you want.
It ran out of gas against the Seahawks. But I do think it helps that Stafford gets an extra, what, 3 or 4 days with a finger that he messed up as well.
Such a frustrating season for Giants and their fans, by the way. You blow that Thursday night game against Washington. You somehow find a way to lose to Atlanta on Eli Day. And then you have this really emotional big win at the Superdome. And then you're fighting the Cowboys hard in the first half. And then Saquon steps on a foot and blows up his ankle. Jones gets head injured. And, you know, Galladay leaves the game. And it's just like, oh, man, we can't get it going. So it's been a tough year for New York football. All right. Up next. The old Zeuser. All right, one more pick for me, one more for Greg, and the draft's done. My pick will be, this is kind of an indictment on where they are right now, the Chiefs available late in this draft, heading to Washington. An indictment of Washington, too, because they were supposed to be kind of good and fun and buzzy this year. So Chiefs at Washington, a pair of 2 and 3 teams. This was the first time Sunday, Greg, where I was watching the Chiefs, and I'm like, I'm a little worried. I'm a little bit worried about what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. We know they have problems on defense, and you assume a team of their pedigree, they'll get coached up and they'll make adjustments and maybe get to where they need to be, about average. But the offense is the inability to execute and the failures and the backbreaking turnovers. You could look at it and say, you know, it's a little fluky and they're happening in bunches, but the history tells us this isn't something to continue. But at the same time, they're happening. And we're now deep into October and you just lost your starting running back. And it just feels like it's not working against the Chiefs right
it
now.
It is. I mean, the part where you're saying you're hopeful you get back to average on defense, I think that's the thing I'm most concerned about, because I don't know if that's coming. I don't know if I see the pass rush, if I see the personnel. The turnovers were fluky in that Bills game. You know, the Mahomes turnovers were totally fluky, and they did help change that game. But the game plan to stop the Chiefs is consistent, and I am a little surprised that they don't seem to have a great counter for it. And the game plan is, like, make them work down the field very slowly, back your safeties up, and hopefully something crazy will happen along the way. And so it's sort of built into the game plan, Dan, these fluky turnovers. It's like, make them go on 10, 15 play drives and hope you get a holding right. penalty or a weird play. And it keeps working. I threw out the stat that Mahomes has fewer 15 or 20 plus yard plays this year than Zach Wilson, Taylor Heineke, Mac Jones, some other ham and egger that I kind of insulted just by putting on this list.
Wait a second. Zach Wilson is not a ham and egger. He's just learning the sport, my man. No.
But they have more than Mahomes. So it's here's like the it's question. Really working.
So here's the question. So if your defense is designed to stop the Chiefs from the big play, that logic would dictate that there should be a ton of space in the middle of the field for Patrick Mahomes to pick you apart. Is this a situation where if you can somehow negate Tyreek Hill, and if you can't throw it to Travis Kelce every time, do they not have enough weapons around Patrick Mahomes? And that's why they're able to be taken advantage of in this way.
I think that you could look beyond.
So nobody's getting open.
You could look beyond Kelce and Hill and say that even going into the year, there were questions about the depth in terms of weapons. But I am like not
me either,
watching
though.
Football for like 25, 30 years. I'm yeah. just not going to over worry about this situation.
You broke out the watching football for 25 to 30 years.
He played
that's
too.
A big spot.
Played.
Well, so should we play the game? So should we panic as if we?
I don't think so, because a week ago, and I led the charge. I was like, "Hey, the Chiefs, man, 7 drives, 6 touchdowns. F you for even thinking that they're not going to be okay." But then another game like that happens, and it's just like this aura of invincibility is starting to fade a little bit. And I just wonder if like there's too much pressure on the offense.
Well, I think a lot of it is on, you know, us who a couple of years ago were thinking, wow, let's just tick it like we did Aaron Rodgers coming off the 2010 season, Patrick Mahomes for 5 or 6 Super Bowl trophies, which is just impossible to do that in
can't
the
do
NFL
it alone.
Necessarily. There's like one person that's done that. And the offense is not as healthy. And like, look at like last year in the Super Bowl, losing your offensive line, your tackles completely neutralize them. They have other issues to deal with. I think the bigger problem is that your better teams can take advantage of their totally wanting defense. And I mean, both Washington and Kansas City, they've given up the most and second most points in the league. So you'd think that maybe even Taylor Heineke could have a big game in this one. But I don't know if I trust their offense to keep
pace. You would. And it's a battle of 2 and 3 teams. And people are down on are down on the Chiefs right now, but I'm not.
Uh-oh.
And people might say, okay, Washington Uh-oh. Football team, you've had a great week being back in the news. You're going to play strong. They're retiring Sean Taylor's name.
That's nice.
And then jersey number. Yeah, that's overdue. That's nice. And he deserves every honor. It is weird that you find out four days before the game.
Is he gonna?
You figure that they would be inspired. But no, I'm still going to take the Chiefs to beat this terrible defense and lock
it. I like it. That's a good lock.
Barely got now, it under the number.
Gutsy.
Barely. No, it's not gutsy whatsoever. I do want to say one quick thing about Washington. Sorry, I'm just honking too much.
Yes, honky tonk man.
If they were the Cowboys, like, people would just be killing Jack Del Rio and how embarrassing this defense is. They are the worst coach defense in the league. Every week, there are 2 plays where guys are yelling at each other and like, I thought you had him. No, you had him. You had him. And guys are just streaking wide open. Like, that's coaching.
And to your point, William Jackson, who they signed for $40 million plus, said after they gave up that terrible Hail Mary play a week ago where, like, the Reds, the Washington players were just looking like, hey, what happened here? He said, We weren't expecting them to go Hail Mary there. A regular football team will try to get a couple yards and kick a field goal. It's like you
they
were
did call it a little early, which is a play I like. I do like that. You know, call it with 20 seconds, not with 10.
I don't know.
Still.
You still got to be ready for them to go over the
and
top.
And there was another play.
Regular
situation.
Team doesn't do that.
And there was Deontay Harris's touchdown earlier. Like the safeties, it's Landon Collins is often involved. I don't know if it's his fault, but he's often involved where it's like, we don't know who's got who. And Jack Del Rio, meanwhile, is just like skating through, you know, killing John Gruden this week, which, you know, he should. But I don't know.
Actually, just, you know, lay low and work on your team because you're embarrassing your team on defense this year. Here said Ron Rivera, I'm very frustrated because we have too many good football players to not be better than what we are right now. That's true. They've been one of the more disappointing teams in the league. Taylor Heineke is the only one that's keeping them at all fun to watch, and your boy Terry McLaurin. All right,
their crowd stinks too. There will be a lot of Chiefs fans there. I know, you know, every Washington game. I know
Greg,
you want to
Greg
move
has
out.
Been on that beat for
I'm just Come saying, on. Like last week, you would have thought it was a Saints home game, which I've never seen. It's like, wow, it felt like a Saints home game in Washington.
I'm sure there are no many hyper passionate Washington football team fans. Maybe it's the acoustics of the building. Maybe it's too big a building. You know, I think it's the biggest stadium. Your savage takedown on the entire fan base seems untoward.
I don't blame them. It's been a tough couple of decades.
All right, here we go. Greg, close out the draft.
Okay. How do we leave the...
All the know, time in the world
the
for you now.
Fighting Bengals.
I came up and got you for number two.
I know. It's ruined my whole
I
show.
Know, I
it's
love
ruined
it.
Sunday. I don't want to be here anymore. Do we have that? Bengals-Lions. You know, I love... This is another very lockable game. I wonder if Mark's about to do so. Because, yeah, the winless Lions are only 3.5-point underdogs, which is surprising considering no one on their team is healthy. You know your team has problems when you lose Quentin Cephas for the season, and I'm just like, oh, I don't think they can recover
from QC.
That. I'm just like, okay, at some point you've lost too many players. You're now, like, going into... You know, deep receivers and mm-hmm. all sorts mm-hmm. of positions in the secondary. I want to see the Bengals just like go in and put a whooping on them. Like that would be the new Bengals team because they should.
Yeah, the defense has lost a number of people in Detroit. They give up 10 yards per pass attempt, which is the most in the league. That's great for Joe Burrow. And this Bengals team is so resilient. There's something that's so different about them, obviously, than in previous years. And I think it's an interesting matchup. I would never lock this, though, because I have no idea what's going to happen in this thing. Like, both teams like games to come down to the very end, Greg. That feels like a lock.
I feel like the Lions have gotten a lot of credit, you know, duly so, for, like, trying at the end of the games and coming back. But when you watch all 60 minutes, they don't look like a good team. They look like they should be 0-5. That's all.
They're a talent-deficient team that's lost many of their best players to injury. Right. And now there's just, like... I guess Jared Goff is going to will them to some whims. Well, so far, that has not happened.
How about this week for Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell Twitter? Because I think we reached the point last week where it's just like, oh, yeah, the Bengals are right.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with Sewell, and he might have a great career too, and you can debate about low tackles versus receivers, but it's like, oh, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be great. He changes their entire offense. Would Penei Sewell, even if he's playing well, change their offense like that? I don't know.
Maybe.
I think I'd rather have the receiver.
Wait. All right. In fairness, Penei Sewell is a guy they see as a long-term left tackle or, you know, crushing right tackle, but left tackle. If he is at the skill level of, I guess, Ja'Marr Chase at that position, yes, you can
then
make the case.
It's a conversation.
But that's actually not what the draft pedigrees were, I guess, to that level. Ja'Marr Chase, we had seen it in college that he was an absolute terror that could not be covered. And I think it just more than anything, it just makes the case that we don't need to be doing podcasts in July.
Well, right, because it was just overreaction to the fact that maybe he's not a pro receiver. He's got drops all over the place.
Sitting there with Will Blackman in the Sky Studios at the stadium, and he was just like, I mean, he put it well, which when the ball's in the air, Chase just like knows it's his ball. And that's like a hard thing to measure. But I think it makes sense that he didn't test incredibly well. And you were like, huh, is this going to translate perfectly? But there is something about him, like a TO, although he would have his drops. It's just like, that ball is his. He's going to go get the ball.
I thought Will put it really well. Because, he said basically some guys, And there are very few of them. I think you mentioned Odell. When Odell came out, was similar. Odell Beckham, he was a wide receiver on the Giants, was a major star.
All right.
I don't know where he is now, but he's just better. He knows he's better than you. And it doesn't matter who's lining up against him. He's got that ball. That's his. And that's where this guy's at. And I think, yeah, we all kind of owe Cincinnati an apology. We kind of owe Ja'Marr Chase an apology because it was just piling on about some practice drops. And he's arguably the best wide receiver in football this season.
Whoa. That might be.
Well, put him. Who's better?
Devontae Adams.
Who can you say is like better than Ja'Marr Chase
Cooper
through
Cup
five
and,
games?
Cooper Kupp and Devontae Adams.
Is it a conversation, though?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know, man.
If you factor that he's a rookie coming and, off a weird
and
he's the rookie of the year right now, which is
godlike.
Kind of crazy, don't you think? He's probably the rookie. I guess if you wanted to get cute and give it to Slater,
Cooper Kupp
would probably be the two.
Devontae Adams are kind of like Devontae Adams in terms of production is peerless, and Kupp has been amazing for the Rams.
Jefferson, I know the numbers aren't there, but just watching Jefferson,
right.
You put him ahead.
And Ja'Marr Chase is this year's version of Jefferson, but just in terms of impact, big time plays, game changing plays, no one's had as many as Chase. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
All right, let's go through the rest of the games here. Let's start. We have a London game, the second London game, international series at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Has it already been, I don't know, 4 days since we were in that stadium for 14 hours? Greg Rosenthal, they got another game. It is Dolphins at Jaguars. 1-4 against 0-5. Tough matchup here. I think the biggest subplot of this game is my corduroy jacket that I bought in London. I left sitting on a chair in the Sky Sports suite.
I'm
just wondering if it's going to be recovered and somehow get back to me because I...
Well, some of them listen to this podcast, perhaps. Neil, if you happen to listen.
I DM Neil Sunday night and he never replied.
I mean, they should FedEx it to you. If they have FedEx.
It's like, I'm done with you. I got what I needed, television content, when you came to England. I will not recover your jacket. No, but I left it on a chair. It was 35 pounds, which is like 55 bucks or something here. And I'd like to get more than one day usage out of it. I would love to get that jacket back.
You went corduroy.
I did. I kind of said, let's turn back the clock a little bit. I used to love corduroy jackets in the mid-90s. 41-year-old dad, I don't know what's cool and what's not cool anymore. So I just said,
"You look good."
I said, "Screw it, I'm going to wear this jacket." Felt good, felt confident.
I mean, you wore it on a jumbotron with 65,000 people.
Got to feel good about a jacket if you're going to wear it in front of 65K.
It's also a bit of a power move just to wear it to buy it for 35 pounds or whatever you said it was. Wear it for one day and just leave in a stadium and say, "Don't care." Maybe just act like you're good. I need it back
because I don't have that type of disposable income just to. One and done jackets. That's not my thing. Anyway, if you find it, let me know. All right, next game. No, anything on Dolphins Jaguars? Now Tua is practicing again.
Sounds like he'll play.
Does that mean he's starting in London?
He's expected to start at this point. They haven't said anything, but that's kind of the expectation. Yeah.
I mean, is there a bigger mess of a team that had higher expectations than the Dolphins?
I don't think so. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday, I think, and it's just like. Where they were, the path that they were supposedly on to where they are now, it's a pretty shaky situation, and you don't really know what to put your hat on right now with the Dolphins. The Jaguars are the perfect team to get right now because obviously it's a winless team, and you can kind of get yourself right and go into the bye and then hit reset. So I think things set up well for the Dolphins here, but I don't know if a bye week is going to magically fix what ails them.
Right, they're in their third year under Flores. And the first 2 years felt ahead of schedule.
Found my jacket.
But now they feel like, you know, they're almost, you know, they look like a team that was as bad as before Flores arrived. If he can't cook up Trevor Lawrence, who seems eminently
cookable
right now, in terms of confusing him and getting him late and making a couple big time mistakes that lose him the game, then you start having to wonder about like the vision here. They keep cycling guys in and out on defense. Like, let's get it together, Miami. Let's win this game. I thought hard about locking it because I really do think they're going to get Henry Hodgson and Nat Coombs and all those UK Dolphins fans a win. There's a lot of them out there. We saw them in the crowd on Sunday. There's a lot of UK Dolphins fans. There's a lot of UK Jaguars fans. A lot of Bortles jerseys out there. But the problem is, like, it's like London's going to start taking this game personally.
sending these teams.
If they do
they're combined 3-15, these teams that have gone to London this year.
Put it this way, if they go to Germany next year, and let's hope they do, and they announce there was 3 finalist cities, and Germany gets in the mix, and then you send like Chiefs Bucks there, England's gonna start a war. I mean, it's gonna be Revolutionary War Part 2, US, Great Britain, and we're gonna be in a tough sitch.
You know what it might be is like they're almost too easy to please because it's like a Super Bowl atmosphere. You've been there, and I felt it even more in this one. The crowd was insanely good for a Falcons-Jets game. I mean, they were so into it. Yeah. They were so loud. Like whoever was scoring, they're going absolutely insane. It was like Jets-Falcons. Let's give them the best we have to offer.
It's like the boyfriend or girlfriend that's like too nice for their own good, and they're just getting
they're getting taken advantage of.
That's the British crowd.
Right, yeah. We're sending them Jamal Agnew and Tavon Austin as like legitimate parts of this Jaguars offense.
And I also want to apologize to Neil Reynolds, who actually did get back to me while I was sleeping that night. He said he just saw it. He's going to ask the production manager on site. And if they find it, they're going to mail it to me. So, I owe you an apology.
That you buried him.
I buried Neil.
Hadn't even looked.
Like minutes ago, I buried Neil without even looking at the DM.
Greg has done that, and you've made your...
That's
you guys
true.
Have forgiven each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, we apologize.
Let's move on.
Last game, right?
Hey, guys. It's Larry Wessling here with the Wessling Brother Week 6
Larry!
Pick. Once again, we'll travel back across the pond where the 1-4 Dolphins take on the 0-5
Jaguars. He's Wessling Brothers. It's too much.
For no other good reason but spite, I'm locking up the Jaguars this week.
What?
Why? Who knows? One of these teams has to win. Why, Spike, you ask? This is what happens when the other brothers don't let me lock up the Browns in a big spot. Mark, happy birthday. Hope you're feeling better. Hope the recovery is going great.
Larry.
Greg, Dan, Ricky, keep up the good work. We'll see you guys soon.
That's awesome. These Wessling brothers, they don't care about the competition. They just want to bury each other week after week. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate them for that. That this is so, it's no longer about our podcast. It's just this internal battle that we actually have a window into it. And it's been going on for 45 years.
I mean, it feels very Jaguars-esque if things continue to slide the way they are there. But I love the infighting. I can only imagine what it's like to be live in that house with all those brothers.
I don't know.
Trying to lose.
No slight to the other Wessling brothers, but I want more Tim. I really like what Tim delivered here.
That was Larry, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Larry.
That was Larry. No,
but you
was slamming Tim. Larry.
No, Larry wants the Wessling brothers to lose to get back at them for not letting him lock up the Browns earlier this season. I mean, think about that for a second.
So, did he send that like as a rogue transmission? Do they even know that that's the lock?
No, that did come. The gatekeeper here is Nick. Nick's the one that sends it my way.
My bad.
So I think they're all in on it.
Larry's the youngest, you know. It's tough for the youngest.
Well, he could
win. Got to get back at him.
All right, here we go. Packers at Bears. This one didn't get drafted, and it's because I think it's just because the Bears are kind of
because I made a horrible mistake and was on tilt after the whole Chargers Ravens thing.
So you got the Packers at the Bears. The Bears are 3-2. And people get crazy mad at me because I'm so stubborn moving them up the power rankings. But I feel like this is the same as the Bears last year. Only remember when the Bears got hot in December and they ended up sneaking in the playoffs. But at no point did you feel like the Bears are actually not that bad. That's kind of what I feel. But then you have to look at it from this perspective. Justin Fields is getting his feet wet. And it's not a highlight factory right now, but it's good that he's getting the reps and he's getting opportunities and they at least have a game plan in place that's giving him a chance. And the defense, the last couple of weeks and really for most of the season, has been lifting them to victories, which is maybe not the 2018 level, but it's been better and opportunistic, and that's really why they've won 3 of 5.
Yeah, I see them differently than last year's team. I know what you're saying, but I guess what's similar is that they handed over play calling to Bill Lazor last year, and it worked. Nagy takes it back because Nagy is crazy. And now they've handed it back to Bill Lazor. And I thought at least against the Raiders, I saw a Bears offense that had some identity. I mean, to have David Montgomery out of the lineup and still run the way they did, I like that a lot. I am locking up, though, the Green Bay Packers because it is a very lockable game. They are on the road, but... Yeah. I trust them to do just enough each week. They seem a little out of sync to me at times, but Davante Adams,
you guys
Aaron
locked
Jones.
Them up last week and got got fortunate that McPherson hit it off that.
I like that I generally have a tumultuous relationship with the Packers, but I am using them for my own good.
Here is the standings in the lock competition through week five. Dan and Mark, both riding four-game winning streaks, 4-1. The listeners over on the subreddit and the Wessling brothers, both 3-2. Greg, you've bounced back nicely after the 0-3 start. You're now 2-3. Ricky somehow has a win. I don't really believe it, but she's 1-3. So that's the standings where we're at. All right, let's move on. Unless you had something on the Packers you wanted to share, Greg, from your notebook.
I just think they need to get more players involved. Like, the lack of depth on their offense, they are not a great offense right now. Now, they've played some pretty good defenses, and this is another one. But, like, I'm with you, Mark. I kind of expect it to be a close game because remember Alan Lazard? Where's
yes,
he? Remember Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
He's on IR, isn't he?
Well, show up, you know, come off IR. Tonyan.
Yeah, what happened to Bobby Tonyan?
You know.
Remember that was a thing? It was cooking?
Ichabodius St. Brown back in the day? I mean, no one has produced in their receiving corps except for Adams, who's having a great year. And the running game is great. I mean, I actually think that 1-2 punch is right there with anyone outside of Chubb and Hunt. I would put Zeke and Pollard. And then maybe you go with the Packers duo right next. So they have things, but like they're 13th in EPA right now, which is kind of an offensive efficiency. They were number one last year. They're just like they're struggling a little bit on offense. And this Bears front, you mentioned it, they get after you. Robert Quinn, it's a year late, but he's been worth all the money this year.
It's not really surprising though, is it, with the Packers on some level? Because that season last year was just so, it was like everything came together and they just got rolling and they just stayed rolling. But given the personnel, it doesn't surprise me that they would fade back a little bit this year. And that means other facets of the team need to be better. Because I don't know if I see the Packers like turning back into last season, because that felt like a special year for them on offense. Maybe that's foreboding.
I tend to agree. They could get some players back, including Bakhtiari and Jenkins, which would really
help. Well, other teams like the Cowboys are rising up too. You don't just ticket them for the title game.
Right. This game, if Justin Fields could ever beat the Packers in his first start, and you know it's going to be defensive led, but to make enough plays, woo, that would be like a fun little narrative streak. Like, you know,
not for my luck, kind of like Greg. I hope you're rooting for me to continue to succeed.
I mean, I'm sick of the Packers just like kind of like skating by each week.
All right, the 49ers, Falcons, Jets, and Saints all on bye, and I think that's it. I think we got everything. Unless Graver, you got something that I missed, but I think that's every game.
I think you covered it.
Good. All right. Good stuff. Again, Greg, tonight with Nate Tice. We like Nate Tice. Good X's and O's guy.
Vegas guy.
He's got a nice guy. Got a Substack. You know he what might, that is?
Right.
What's a Substack?
It's a collection of articles and film studies that he does that I subscribe to during my exodus.
You got
to
pay
and,
for it, though.
You pay for the Substack?
Yeah, I do.
Do you...
To support my friend, Nate Tice.
Do you expense it, or do you...
That will be happening at some point and see if I can slide it by, you know, I don't even know who my boss is anymore, but I'll just sort of slide it by.
I'm a subscriber too. I was going to give him the plug on tonight, but now he's doubling up here.
But he's got a sub. What was it? A Substack?
Substack.
Yeah. Substack. That's good. Can we get Substacks?
I mean,
I've thought about it.
Required extra work.
No.
Yeah.
Well, to put the stuff out there that, you know, NFL.com says, I don't want you to talk about this. Well, I'll talk about it on this other platform and maybe charge 75 cents for readers monthly.
It's like what you didn't see on the Power Rankings show.
Power Rankings Plus.
I don't think that's where I would go with my Substack is a second. There'd be other things to mine.
All right. Rosenthal and Tice tonight. And then we're back on Sunday. And don't forget the Power Rankings, though, is Tuesdays NFL Network at 3 p.m. Eastern. But the Around the NFL broadcast... Oh boy, this thing is taking off. Ratings juggernaut every Saturday. Check it out on the network. Set the DVR. Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Gravedigger, for filling in. Hopefully Ricky's back on Sunday. Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm, the old boss. Gravedigger. Till Friday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.